Right, it's just coming up to 10:22 now. I'm joined. It's Friday, and it's the book club a little bit earlier than normal this month. And we might do it again next month. I don't know. I shall see. Now, I'm joined in the studio by Sylvia Kent, who is a columnist, author, who contributes to national and regional magazines and online journals. She's a writer of Folklore of Essex. She's contributed to Channel 5's film Country Secrets. Published works include The Woman Writer, Brentwood Historic Town, and St Mary Magdalene. Billericay, both downloadable as well. 2,000 articles are linked to Facebook, Twitter, and she's got her blog as well. Her 10th book, Barking in Dagenham from Old Photographs, is newly launched and currently 177,000 page views.
Oh, that sounds pretty
good. It sounds a lot.
That does. It
frightens me.
We're also joined by a guest writer this week. It's Danielle Chignon. I hope I've said got your name correct. I tried my best. Who's here as well. She's a teacher and she's also a writer and got a lot of things published. And we're going to chat to her as well and finding out. We might even actually be having some of her words a little bit later as well. Now, you've got the Billericay Readers Group and we've also got the Book Festival. So what are you reading down there at the moment?
Yes. Well, because so much is going on, I've been a bit naughty. And I had flu, and you had the end of it with my awful voice last month. Do you remember? I could barely talk.
Yeah.
But I never miss a programme, so I had to come. Now, I'm still reading Testament of Youth by Vera Brittain, and it's a long, fairly complicated book, and it's quite upsetting. And I'm reading it, you know, because it's about World War One, but it also links with the project that we have at the Billericay Cater Museum. We've got some lectures coming up on the war. Wonderful artefacts. If anyone wants to come to 74 High Street, Billericay, and I felt I ought to read more about it. I'm very ignorant about World War One and Two, really, but there we are. Now, the readers group that meets in the local library has a book which I'm due to read soon called The Pile of Stuff at the Bottom of the Stairs.
Mm.
And it's a rant, and you will love it. And it's by Christine Hopkinson.
Yeah.
And it's a sort of chick-litty thing.
Mm.
You may like it, I don't know. But it's about a girl who's struggling to cope. Now, her job is part-time, but housework is full-time, leaving no time at all for her two young sons.
Mm.
So she's rather cross with the old husband called Joel. And she's doing this star chart for him. And if he doesn't improve his behaviour and the children's behaviour, he's going to be in trouble. He's got 6 months to prove his good behaviour. And we'll see what happens.
Mm.
So I've got that to read. There are other books on the list, but it would be impossible to take that many to read, so I only usually take one.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's what we're doing. We're taking part also in the book festival. We've got one person appearing at the end of March. I'd love to get him on this programme because he's a fantastic writer. But that's what we're doing, and a bit later I'll tell you a bit about the book festival.
And have we got any of the brochures?
I've got some for you.
Yeah.
So we know. Always bring
what
the brochures.
Famous, because we have what famous people are going to be there this year?
Oh, we're going to have Miss and Judy, and we're going to have Alan Johnson, the politician.
I thought you meant from here. I didn't know he was famous.
No.
Only does a Saturday show.
We're not having anyone actually at Brentwood Library. I don't know why, but you've got one at Billericay, and the others are scattered around Essex. There's 60 events. I'm going to some. I'm going to the launch with Sammy Jacopoati on a Sunday that kicks off at South End Forum, 2:30.
Yeah,
that's the big launch, because I'm a patron of this and I love it to be as successful as it has been 16 years. But, we've got Sophie Hanna and people like that. I say Richard and Judy. Pam Ayres should be a laugh.
Oh, yes, Pam Ayres, yes.
So I get a chance to meet them in the green room and talk to them, take a picture maybe if they're kind enough. And, I love it, love it. So it's a busy time.
And you're on your 10th, I mean, we said this before, 10th book, and you said it was your final book. Do you think it is, or are you still sort of, are you starting to think, well, maybe I'll do another?
Books take a lot of your time.
Yep.
It's not just the research, maybe the silly books I write, I don't know, but they're to do with history, so I have to be in the area.
Yeah.
When I was doing the Essex book, I mean, it was all over Essex, right to the north, down to East London. This particular book is really from Dagenham and Barking, and that's where I was last night at Valence House, meeting photographers and I don't really say not multilingual, but people that did photography and computing and linked the two, and music.
Mm.
So we had films looping around the whole time. My head was going round at the end of it. But it was fascinating. And my business cards were shooting all around the room, you know. So today my poor husband will have to take the calls. Usually after a do like that, you get lots and lots of calls. And lots of people want to write books.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm at Dagenham on Monday also talking about the book, but also talking about getting from pen to paper. So the business of how to produce a book.
Yeah. Now, we're joined by your guest as well in the studio.
Yes.
Well, I can just about see. I'll put my chair up a bit, actually, because I think I'm sinking. Now, we're joined by Danielle, and it's Chignon. Have I said it correct?
Chignon.
Chignon. I can't see. That's what I mean. I know I was going to get that wrong.
It sounds French.
It is, yes. My parents are from Mauritius.
Ah, lovely. Mm. Oh, I've got my friend Blue is from Mauritius, and plays in a band called Incognito. Very nice man. Now, you are a teacher in Thurrock. What do you teach?
French.
All right, there we go. My pronunciation's really bad then. How long have you been teaching for?
Well, actually, since early 2000. It's been a bit of a mixture.
Yeah.
I've taught in adult education, primary school French, and where I am now, secondary.
And do you find, just interested really, do you find that children are picking up languages easier, or is it quite difficult?
Well, having worked in those different sections, the sooner they start, the better. That's the best thing. The earlier, the better. Yeah. However, a lot relies on how they're taught. So when I've taught in adult education, I've always I like to include role play, for example, and so that's helped them a lot, because they're sort of learning and doing. They're not sort of sitting in a chair, just repeating. That's part of it, but then they're also getting up, interacting with each other, and using the language as they go along. So that does help.
I was going to say, you started, and you've got a really impressive CV here. So when did you start writing when you were very young, and is it something you've always done, you know, think, or is it something that's happened as you got older?
Well, when I was at school, I liked writing stories, but they used to go on and on, and I didn't know when to stop.
A bit like me when I'm talking, actually.
And a lot of the times, comments from my English teacher were... you need to know when to stop. But I had didn't really have any other guidance as to how to go about that. And then I came back to it in 2013 at the Thurrock Writers Festival. I thought I'd enter a competition, and I came first with Thor's Rock.
Oh, wow. And that was your first piece that you'd done?
That was, yes.
Oh, wow. Well, that's quite impressive.
What's it about?
Yes,
Thor,
about?
We're talking the god of...
In keeping with the theme of the competition, the theme was Thurrock.
Yeah.
And I had heard, I suppose you could say, an old wives' tale, that Thurrock was named after Thor's rock.
Ah.
And so what I did, I did a bit of research... to find out if that was true. When it's not true, the truth is not as exciting as that.
Oh,
unfortunately, it's actually very dull.
Right.
It's more to do with the shape of the Thames, where Thurrock sits, that part there. This will really bore you, but it's the bottom of a boat, which is called Thurrock.
Yep.
And so in time, that just sort of morphed into Thurrock.
Oh, right. Well, I live in Thurrock, but I didn't know that. I do now.
She does now. She'll write a book.
I will, yeah.
And then from that, I sent my story to a friend of mine who's a script writer. And I just said to him, do you think... I keep seeing this as a short film. Do you think you could do something with it? And I didn't think he would... I thought he might say no. But next thing I knew, he'd produced a script. So we didn't actually have a plan. I just said, let's do it one step at a time. So the next thing was budget. Mm. We didn't have one. So we were very lucky in that he was able to get a location. And with a lot of goodwill as well. We got location, we got some actors to make the short film.
I didn't realise that.
And we entered it into the Thurrock International Film Festival last year.
Yeah.
And it's only 8 minutes long, which was long enough. And, okay, we didn't get anywhere. I think a Spanish... Some Spanish company won it, but still, it was a nice experience.
Yeah,
you know, and we may come back to it another time when we've got more money to spend.
it's expensive, isn't it? But yes. You know, unless you can drag people in, they're willing to do things for free. You know, and also now you don't need that much money for actually cameras and things like that.
Because it's all,
and you can do a lot of stuff at home. So once you've got the initial bit of equipment, it is quite, you know, loads of people are filming stuff now.
I'm hoping to bring a film man in. If I can persuade him, I shall make him some piccalilli or something.
That'll do it.
But anyway, we've done some filming already in Dagenham.
Yeah.
He's very good. And I'm hoping he will meet this lady here because I think she'd be really good. Ooh. And we'll see how we go.
Now I'm joined in the studio by Sylvia and Danielle, who are my guests today on the book club. And we've been chatting to Danielle about she's a teacher, she teaches French, and she started writing and she's won loads of prizes. So tell us about something, because I never think, it's one of those things, I think obviously we've seen competitions because I'm a musician, but I never thought about, it just never crossed my mind that you can enter, and of course you can enter competitions for writing. Just, it didn't really cross my mind to do it, and you've won so many prizes. Mm. So how many have you won in total?
Four. Looking at my list here.
Yep. And what was your favourite out of all the ones that you've won, and why?
I have to say, my favourite was the Essex Musician because of the research involved.
Yep.
I actually, because it was a factual piece. I managed to get in contact with a musician called, a singer-songwriter called Jordan Gray.
Oh, I know Jordan, yes, I'm writing an article about him, yes.
His stage name was Tall Dark Friend.
That's it, yep.
And I'd first seen him perform in 2007 at the Thurrock Festival, and I just remembered the energy, filling that stage... Yeah. With his presence and his energy, and that stuck in my mind. So I never thought then that I would be interviewing him so many years later. Mm. But I managed to get in contact with him. Lovely man. And I interviewed him at the Thameside Theatre. And that was the first time I'd interviewed anybody.
Oh.
To read somewhere, what to do.
Were you nervous?
So I was. So... I wrote down, you know, some questions that I could ask him. But I also had my, this little recorder thing, gadget. So I had to have that on. And do you know what? We had a really nice chat. It was just like chatting with somebody.
Yeah.
And I would just stop the recording every now and again for a breather. And so having got all that information, I had about 3,000 words to condense into 1,000.
Yeah.
And then I entered it in the competition. And, you know, you can get very precious about your writing, because 3,000 words, I thought, I don't want to, every bit counts here. Mm. So that was tough, editing that to 1,000.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, it gained second place. I was really pleased about that.
You've got here today, which I love, because we've not had this for quite a while, actually, where somebody's come in and read out some of their works, and I really like it, because I think it might have been actually Frances that did some reading out, because obviously she's a teacher and she's used to speaking to classrooms, and it just went very quiet. So you've got some short little piece of works. And so, in 100 words, is this something that you do on a regular basis, or was this for? Was this like a set piece?
That was prompted by a Reader's Digest competition to write a story in 100 words.
Yeah.
The results haven't come out yet, but. It was quite challenging. So I thought I'll just see how many I can produce.
Yeah.
And but I just to sort of prompt ideas and things, I looked in the local paper for any phrases or headings that jumped out at me, and they were, for the most part, they form the titles of the pieces.
Yeah.